been giving out daily. That means our money is dead, and we gotta pay back more than 100%. No wonder they ride the middle class is going under, when the ones above them gotta cover and come to collect. And many have no access to banking, making payments or saving, so more fees are taken. And every day the gatekeepers are trying to stop change. We cannot wait. Welcome to the blockchain.
It's the Henry Rain Show here on WWPR 1490 AM. Again, heard every Saturday, 12:05 PM, until whenever we get done, somewhere around 1 o'clock. And it certainly is going to be tough landing the Starship Enterprise here by that time.
We almost had our first phone caller. Like a first.
No, we had a caller before you came on.
Okay.
In the long past.
Next. Unfortunately, they wanted a massage parlor, so I don't know how the numbers got mixed up.
But. Somebody's going to massage something. Right?
If you want to participate in this, don't be shy and call on the breaks. Go ahead and call when we're talking. We'll put you right into the conversation. 888-761-1490. That's 888-761-1490. Got to warn you, though, when you're calling and you hear the mic's going, you're just going to go straight live on the air, and not during the 30-second commercial. So, but we're glad to hear from you, and I hope that person calls back right after the show, and we'll try and answer the question that he had off the air. So, we had listened to Brian Kelly talk about the three reasons why you need to get into Bitcoin.
Let me interrupt you a second, Henry. Is this the Brian Kelly that got in an early fight on Morning Joe years ago and got kicked off the show? Is that the same guy?
No. Brian, this is Brian Kelly from CNBC, an analyst.
No, I'm talking about CNBC. No, he's...
Well, that's something you'll have to Google and let us know.
All right.
One of those liberal shows,
no,
The
no.
View.
Well, no, but he got kicked off of the show over embarrassing...
Okay, we're digressing too much here. All right. So, and then last week we listened to Tom Lee, another bull who was taken on by a bear, and he was a little bit back on his heels because he had predicted the high price, I think $7,500 or something like that.
$25,000 or something.
Yeah. He still has that down the way, but he's now not a bear, but he's conservative about what's going on. So Tom Lee and Brian Kelly, bull versus bull, are going to be heard right now.
Well, let me just start by saying I think for the vast majority of those who are believers in Bitcoin, they should ignore what happened.
That's Tom Lee's voice first.
In the short term, because, you know, we still think Bitcoin is worth multiples of where it is 5 years from now. But, yes, in the short term, I think you can think about how Bitcoin is valued based on, you know, wallet growth and transaction activity. And for the last 3 years, 94% of the movement of Bitcoin has been explained by a simple equation reflecting those two.
Which is?
Well, we use a log function of the number of wallets.
Yeah.
Plus a coefficient for the average transaction value. So that it's basically how much engagement is there. And the premium to Bitcoin to that equation today is around 42%.
Okay, I want to stop just for a second. We're going to redo this. But the thing I want to point out, so his calculation is a 42% premium based on the number of wallets, et cetera, over the rate of growth, trading price, et cetera.
Andy will break that
equation down for you, explain it. But probably at the meetup at Mocha Joe's on November 28th, we'll have a whiteboard there, and he will, or maybe even a telestrator with on the big TV screen to get that broken down for you. But the point I want to make is, so he is talking about this yesterday during, I believe, the morning of CNBC, and his equation is based on the rate of wallet growth. But now the rate of wallet growth, since the news of CME and the futures contract, has exploded the number of wallets. Coinbase announced that they had signed on 100,000 new customers in one day.
Yeah, but that's not new wallets. Everything's on Coinbase's wallet.
Well, I mean, when you sign up, it says you've got a wallet.
Well,
okay, we're putting here. The point is, he's talking about users, too, and he's using the number of wallets. So either way, it is the rate of growth of users that is driving his equation. If the total number of users, and I'm not sure how they got this on Coinbase, is 11.9 million, it's somewhere between 11 and 12 million, and it's growing at 1% in one day, I don't think that Tom Lee's model has accounted for the growth that's actually happening while he's spewing out the words on CNBC. Now, it's not going to go 1% a day forever, but every time you have this kind of announcement, and I notice, you probably noticed on CoinMarketCap, too, the amount of transactions were running well over $4 billion for multiple days just on Bitcoin, and it's down to about $3.5 billion today, which is still about double the volume, if not more than double the volume, it was trading right before the news. So there obviously is all this coming into it. So that was the long-winded point I wanted to make, that I don't think his equation may be valid, but I don't think the data that he's putting into it as he was speaking was reflective of the growth of the users. But here we go.
Which is the highest since 2014. So we thought maybe take a step back, wait for a...
What does it average? What's the low been?
Well, it over the last... since inception, actually, the premium's been zero. So it's historically either been cheap to it, and that means you got to buy it because you can buy it with strong hands. You know, you're buying it at discount to fundamental. But now at 44% premium, it's gotten as high as 65. But at 44, it's the highest in 3 years.
And to reiterate, your 2022 price target is 25,000 per Bitcoin.
Correct.
So you're
assuming
a lot more expansive use of it in terms of being an actual currency.
That's right. So when we project Bitcoin into mid-2018, we're assuming a 90% deceleration of the existing growth rate.
Okay. So right there, a 90%, that's basically putting on the brakes and hitting a brick wall. And the data in the short term that he's living in is totally the opposite. It's accelerating. They got the pedal to the metal. I don't know how long it's going to be before that happens.
What was the date you put on it?
It amazes me these analysts come on. And I love CNBC. Watch it every night. It's amazing when they come on and try to put a fundamental, you know, way to get a price to earnings for the most part of Bitcoin. I mean, it's impossible. They use all these different methods. I mean, I looked at that, I was thinking to myself, what in the hell is he talking about? I mean, it made no sense to me.
Transactions versus individuals is a whole different animal.
That's correct. I mean, what makes gold valuable? It's buyers and sellers and what it's worth for people to hold, and I think Bitcoin is one of those things.
One buyer that buys two-thirds of the market, as Putin did 2 years ago, of the available gold market, which he bought up, one transaction did that, not 9,000.
Well, he bought one of his cheap.
Yeah, right.
All right. Well, let's move forward here just a little bit more, and I think this is going to lead us into the Goldman Sachs CEO in a second, but let's go forward.
So it's probably conservative because, of course, Bitcoin's been growing at an accelerating pace. But we just said it at the moment today, so let's say we call it contemporaneous metrics, it's expensive. But that's, it may be wishful thinking. You know, Bitcoin doesn't have to go down. We're just saying it's at a premium to its fundamentals.
So, Tom, we were talking about 2018 and the transaction.
And the premium was actually shrinking as he was talking.
Yeah.
Let me understand. You're saying transactions go down by 90%, or the growth rate?
The growth rate decelerates by 90%.
So where are you getting that? Because we were both out in San Francisco last week, saw unbelievable amount of development going on. Where are you getting this deceleration in transactions?
Brian, it's a stale forecast because we made that forecast in August.
I think his forecast
is stale. So we thought 6,000 was where it could be in mid-18. Clearly, it's a stale number because activity has actually been stronger since then. And as you mentioned,
it's almost painful listening to that guy. I mean, let's be honest.
He goes back on his heels pretty easy when he gets challenged on
his heels.
And Brian Kelly's nobody to mess with Bitcoin. I mean, that guy was an expert. I think he called at the beginning of the year 2,200.
He went back on his heels for the bear last week.
Yeah.
It's a huge, vibrant community. There's a lot happening, but on the current metrics, so without projecting growth, Bitcoin should be valued.
Okay, I think we're going in circles now.
Yeah.
And we have to get another break in, but we'll finish this.
If you didn't notice, they removed him from the table right after that. I mean, almost next thing you know, they zoom in on Brian Kelly, they zoom back out, and he's gone. I don't blame him.
All right, so we have a lot coming up still. We're going to hear from the CEO of Goldman Sachs, which I think is an opportune time to bring him in after the break here. And we haven't heard him by audio on the show, but we have read quotes over the last couple weeks, 2 to 4 weeks, about him and what Goldman Sachs is. And I would be surprised if anybody listening here in the studio or listening out in the radio land there and wanted to call 888-761-1490, would bet against the fact that the CEO of Goldman Sachs knows they're coming forward with investment products very soon. We'll find that out in just
Everybody
a moment.
Follows Jamie.
I love Jamie. Don't knock on Jamie.
No, I've said everybody follows him.
All right. Coming up. Another point. Right after this.
It's on the way out. It's on the way out. It's on the way out.
This segment of the Henry Rain Show is brought to you by Byte Federal, the Bitcoin ATM company, bringing Bitcoin to a location near you.
Trying to get into Bitcoin but don't know where to start? Byte Federal ATMs make it easy. Safe, secure, and reliable, a Byte Federal ATM introduces you to cryptocurrency investing with a method you're familiar with at a real physical location. If you've ever used a bank ATM, then you're ready to step up to a Byte Federal ATM and start building your digital assets. Located throughout Florida and Georgia, there's a Byte Federal ATM near you. Go to ByteFederal.com to find a location for you. That's ByteFederal.com, and you'll find a real phone number, a real email, and real people you've heard live on the Henry Rain Show.
This important message is brought to you through a partnership of the U.S. government and the Canadian Ministry of Tourism. With the Cold War rapidly heating up, a nuclear attack a very real possibility, we must be vigilant as a nation and well prepared should the worst-case scenario ever occur. As a precautionary measure, duck and cover techniques are being practiced nationwide in our schools, in our homes, and in our work settings to better ensure human survival. The U.S. government has determined that this method is the best way to ensure you and your family remain safe during a full-scale nuclear attack. Now, let's take a look at some nuclear blast footage we've recently acquired. On second thought, if we ever find ourselves under nuclear attack, well, enjoy the view, because you can kiss your ass goodbye. Stay sunny, America.
It's on the way out. It's on the way out. It's on the way out.
We do want to thank Byte Federal for being our sponsor, and as more come online, I'm just trying to get the panel in the habit of actually having spots that we platter out here. So I've gone back in the vault, and then we're going to find some more of these old public service announcements as we mark time, as we have other sponsors in the wings waiting to come in. We're reserving these spots for them. So we just had the bull versus the bull, or the wishy-washy bull versus the strong bull. I said we would play the Goldman Sachs CEO, and again, just a month ago, a decade in human years, a month in crypto time, he was, you know, he just said he's open. You know, they were thinking about it. It's really a little bit early. Let's hear what he has to say today, or at least yesterday, on the week's news about the CME futures.
You tweeted about various subjects, actually. It's interesting, your tweet experience.
By the way, his name's Lloyd Blankfein. He's the Goldman Sachs CEO and chair of the board. So he's heavy-duty power player. Sounds like a nice guy, but you can't believe anybody that gets to run Goldman Sachs. It can be all that much of a puppy.
But one thing you tweeted about was Bitcoin, that you were still thinking about a month ago now. We now have the LME saying that they're actually, CME, saying they're going to start trading futures.
Bitcoin's a little too tangible for the London Metals Exchange.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. So the CME is going to have futures with Bitcoin. Are you still thinking about it? And if Goldman customers, your customers come to you and say, we really want to have this as part of our portfolio, do you have any choice but to get involved in Bitcoin?
Look, I have a level of discomfort with it, as I have a level of discomfort with anything that's new. But I've learned over the years that there's a lot of things that work out pretty well that I don't love. I remember when they first came out with cell phones, I'm thinking, why would anybody want this thing? It lasts, the battery lasts 10 minutes, it weighs a ton, you have to have it on your back, and there's phone machines every 15 feet. Why would anyone want this? Guess what? I missed that one. And here, I read a lot of history, and I know once upon a time, a coin was worth $5 if it had $5 worth of gold in it. And then a piece of paper was worth $5, but only if it was backed by gold in the treasury or silver in the silver certificate. And even then, people were suspicious. Now, paper that's only backed by fiat, the government says, I think that's what it's worth. Maybe in the new world, something gets backed by consensus. Right. Instead of a government fiat, maybe it's a consensual arrangement by people that agree that it's worth something, kind of like what social media does. It's not my natural state of comfort. But if you told me that, if we went into the future and Bitcoins were successful, I would be able to explain how it's a natural evolution from hard money. By the way, why is gold worth anything more than the jewelry value in gold? That's kind of a consensus that people have.
Mm-hmm.
Because no government says, I'm going to pay you $1,300 an ounce from gold. Why is it worth that? You can't eat it. Why is it worth that? Because it's been like that for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe 200 years from now, even someone like me might be comfortable with it. But right now, I tell you, I don't have an investment in it, but I'm not willing to poo-poo it, and that's why I say I'm open to it.
And I say it's on its way, coming to a Goldman Sachs account near you. And if anybody wants to bet against me, I'm saying it right now at 12:54, November 4th, I will bet you
one Bitcoin?
No, 1/100th. Of a Bitcoin.
Oh.
I think the better bet is who accepts it first, Dutch Bank, or I'm sorry, Goldman Sachs, or J.P. Morgan. There's the bet for you.
Well, I don't take the bet,
explain that one more time.
I said, who accepts it for trading first, J.P. Morgan or Goldman Sachs?
Oh, wow.
Okay. Well, I would say Goldman Sachs, but I'm thinking you're going the other way.
I'm going Jamie Dimon. I love the guy. They're a mover.
Anybody who's willing to degrade it in order to buy it is definitely into it.
Well, I don't think he personally likes it, but Jamie's all about, money. So
it almost sounds like porn that you were talking about. That. Anybody willing to?
Well, now we know what went on in Orlando over the weekend.
Orange Blossom Trail is just a wonderful road, isn't it, Augie?
I had to finally ask the question, what the hell is a Democrat?
We'll have to table that one. We barely covered the vast amount of stuff that happened. Bitcoin pricing has dominated a lot of the news in the show for the past couple of weeks. We have another quick bits here. We talked about the number of new users at Coinbase and the explosion there. They say that some of the research said 0.5% of the users of the people on the world have cryptocurrency. Do you think that's an accurate number?
Yeah, I would think so.
What are we at? 12 billion people?
No, in the world?
Yeah.
No.
7 billion.
7 billion. That's still a big number.
Yeah, it is. You've got 3 billion between China and India.
We may need to thin the herd a little bit.
Yeah.
So 7 billion. Mm-hmm. So 1% would be 70 million?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's less than 7, but it's...
So it would be 35 million people?
Something like that. Well, let's just put a number on it. 10 million.
Well, let's say 35 million.
All right, 35.
But, all the people in the third world who don't have stable currencies that could possibly... They have cell phones now. They don't have a good government. They don't have stable currency. They got their cell phone.
They also are getting Chinese rail. A lot of these countries that have nothing, and rail is going to change the ball game.
Well, I thought I saw an article in Argentina, because they're going through all the crisis down there, and 70% of the people, or Venezuela, that's right, sorry, Argentinians, 70% of people in Venezuela own Bitcoin, and it was kind of mind-boggling because
they want
currency.
The alternative to the dollar.
Absolutely.
There are 35 million. What's that? 3 million?
Well,
10%?
Let me give you a little prediction based on that. What is their major export? Oil. What are they going to tie it to?
You need to talk to the mic.
Oh, sorry. What are they going to tie?
It's his first time on the show.
Yeah, he's been away 2 weeks.
Yeah, I did turn sideways to address my co-panelist. But anyway, yeah, it's all about making an equation between a product that is tangible. But the problem is oil really the tangible product anymore, other than making plastic? Because who's going to burn it?
I don't know. It's at $50-some dollars a shit.
Well, while we're south of the border, Argentina, largest futures exchange, announced they will be launching Bitcoin futures after
there
the first
go.
Of the year. So it's definitely on a track that appears to be growing acceptance in the financial community, at least the ones that think they can make money on it. One thing we need to talk about before we leave, and I think, well, actually, there's two or three things. We'll be able to run over just a little bit if you're listening live right now. Bitcoin Cash, what's happening with that?
Well, it's kind of odd because, you know, you see all these analysts on CNBC and they're pushing Bitcoin, and they never, ever mention the forks. And moreover, they never mention any of the altcoins. So to me, it's kind of...
Again, remind people of what the fork is.
Well, a fork, so it depends on a soft fork, a hard fork, but where the coin splits and you have two coins. And going back to Bitcoin Cash, a few weeks ago, Lee, you know, was on here and gave me a little tip, and boy, has that been bankful. But anyways, Bitcoin Cash, to me, is the actual Bitcoin because it does not have SegWit, and SegWit comes into some legal ramifications.
All right, we're going to talk about the forks in a minute, but let's talk about the trade first.
Yeah.
A Bitcoin Cash. So what's the market move on that?
Oh, it's up over 110% right now.
Since
2 weeks ago.
Okay. So there is people like Roger Ver, who is an evangelist for Bitcoin Cash, if you will, one of the old voices of the whole cryptocurrency community pushing Bitcoin Cash. One of the places the podcast is at, yours.org. Which is a micro payment for content. You can help us out by paying 10 cents or 20 cents for a show or even 2 cents to vote for us, whatever you can do if you sign on to that platform, yours.org. I was looking at the Bitcoin Cash that's there. It's just a few dollars that people have contributed over the or actually micro paid to us over the last 3 weeks or so. And in 2 days it was like 30% higher. And I was like, oh, wow, man, we're really catching on with the radio show. And then I just realized it was the appreciation of Bitcoin Cash because that's what they use there. But my thoughts, all these people that are pushing it, if it were to happen, and go back to last week's show if you want to know who might be pushing and who might, it would totally disrupt and destroy all the progress that is being made, because once you have 100,000 people coming in a day to buy Bitcoin, and all of a sudden 6 months down the road say, oh, you can't even buy it in the account you have.
No more tulip bulbs.
Oh. So, well, it's not tulip bulbs. This will be like tulip bulbs and rose bushes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry. Your tulip bulb won't grow a rose bush. Sorry. So we have SegWit 2X coming up. Let me finish that point. So what about that, Andy? The disruption it would take to all the progress being made if Bitcoin Cash is really, if these powers that be behind the cryptocurrency community really were pushing us to Bitcoin Cash, wouldn't it be a self-destructive move?
No, I think Bitcoin Cash is actually the better of the coins.
But what would happen to the millions of people that have gone on?
Oh, you mean the millions of people that have been investing in Bitcoin?
Yes, because the potential to keep this growth going outweighs the benefit of the short-term capital gains you would get by getting people to flip to Bitcoin Cash.
Well, remember, this is still a very small market. I mean, you know, $100 billion, I mean, $200 billion total. I mean, that's not even the size. That's what Apple hit almost $900 billion, just Apple alone. So I think there's still a lot of, you know, there's a lot of room to grow for everything. And I think their focus so much on Bitcoin, it's driving the price up through the roof. And, you know, the people that understand are going, you know what, I'm selling off a little bit of Bitcoin, I'm going to buy some Bitcoin Cash, or I'm going to buy some of these other alts and upgrade.
It's even a smaller fraction of a fraction.
But it needs an anchor.
Yeah.
You need an anchor.
Yeah, well, you know, I bought some more Bitcoin Cash.
I'm glad you brought that up because I thought about it all this week. Bitcoin is the anchor.
Well, is
Bitcoin is the anchor for those all alternate coins, and yes, because
which one?
Bitcoin that is being the futures are going to be traded on.
Yeah, but which one is
that?
Exchange
traded funds.
Which anchor?
They don't even know which Bitcoin is going to emerge from the fork.
These people, the futures markets that have already made their plans are banking on that Bitcoin is going to do this. And you are going up against financial powers. I don't care who the miners are, if they think they can get a capital gain, a quick bait and switch on this. It can't happen like that and have the market develop the way it is. So Bitcoin becomes the anchor because it isn't scalable, which is the solution Bitcoin Cash solves or other altcoins solve in the transaction speed. So Bitcoin doesn't have to become the currency that we trade in. It can be like the gold standard back in the day, where you have dollar bills that are backed by gold. You have cryptocurrencies that are backed by Bitcoin. Bitcoin is the digital anchor for what's going to change the world and change the market.
Absolutely. I think it's going to be a store of wealth. The only issue is with this upcoming fork is which one's going to be the real Bitcoin, B2X or the original. And I think there's a lot of disruption there. And with all these different exchanges not committing to one or the other, and some saying, well, we'll accept the one that's more popular, it sounds a little hokey to me.
Then you create a panic at some point.
Exactly, and there's your sell-off.
Right. So we think that the SegWit2x fork on Bitcoin is going to happen approximately November 16th. So we have one more show before then. We didn't dive too deep into that. Whose interests? We'll revisit that next week. Whose interests are served by whatever happens at this fork? We have also gaining steam not only in our bloviating here and the hot air that we're generating. We actually have some interesting guests that now want to become parts of the show and appear on it. And I want to give a heads up. Next week, November 11th, hopefully he'll be able to shed some light on this. Terry Brock is joining us. He's internationally known. He'll be just back from a Lisbon, Portugal conference on blockchain development. He'll be filling us in that. Terry Brock is a social media marketing speaker, and you can find out more about him at terrybrock.com. We're going to play a sample of him in just a second. November 18th, after the fork, we're going to be looking at healthcare and blockchain. We've sort of gotten off the whole blockchain technology for a couple of weeks.
I like that.
We'll be speaking with Giles Ward, I'll know before I actually introduce him on the air, hopefully. He's executive director of the Blockchain Consortium of Hashed Health, which is out of the Vanderbilt University area. He's from Nashville. That's where they're based. And they'll tell us what's going on in healthcare with blockchain.
Well, you did hear about the OCC coin that's coming out. Augie's really pushing it.
Okay.
The Obamacare coin.
Oh, there you go.
Well, okay.
I think it's a Romneycare coin.
Romneycare?
That's the original.
Obamacare has done wonders for my family and put health insurance affordable for my daughters and I, both as individual consumers and as a family. So I benefited highly from it, and I know a lot of other people, too, working in healthcare myself. And for those of you I'll do my sidebar politics right now. The healthcare exchanges are open, and if you're in Manatee or Sarasota County, the prices are cheaper, significantly cheaper than they were last year, because we're a desirable market for Blue Cross and Sunshine Health, and Blue Cross. Okay. All right, you drug me back.
Yeah, we got you going now.
All right, 2 years ago, we had multiple companies, Aetna, UnitedHealthcare, Blue Cross, et cetera, in the exchange. It was competitive. Blue Cross had lower prices, better benefits, just through the roof to run everybody out of business. So last year, they ran Aetna out, they ran UnitedHealthcare out, they thought they had it all, and this little company, Ambetter, came in. I didn't sign up for them. I didn't know who they were, but some people evidently did, because that was enough competition. Blue Cross prices are back down this year. Ambetter must have found out, hey, we can even make money at this. They brought their prices down. So here in Manatee and Sarasota County, if that's your option, especially if you're me, like 60 years old, trying to find health insurance at a price you can afford, you can buy it out on the exchange and get a good price.
Who's the negotiator?
Oh, it's not good. Okay.
Right. Back to cryptos.
Yeah, back to our preview of next week's guest here. This will be Terry Brock, and I've talked to him on the phone a bunch. He's going to be a very energetic guest, as you can tell from this.
Hi, I'm Terry Brock. We hear terms today about the blockchain, Bitcoin, Monero, Dash, and many other terms that are out there that after a while it can get kind of confusing. Hey, I know about that. I've been around technology for a long time. I've been speaking about it since 1983 professionally, and I've seen changes. But you know, this blockchain thing is bigger than all of that. I see it as making major inroads into how our world works. It's giving power to the individual, right down to the individual who doesn't even have a bank account in many third world countries. And now, because of the power of the blockchain, because of currencies like Bitcoin and Dash, Monero, and others, they have an opportunity to do activities in commerce that they've never done before. But what does that mean for your business? Well, that's what I talk about in the programs that I put together. We take a look at what's going on with digital currencies, with the blockchain, and how you can use that. How do those digital currencies work? And what is this thing called the blockchain, specifically from a business point of view? We're also going to take a look at a lot of the benefits that are associated with the blockchain that go even beyond digital currencies. There's a lot there when we can look at the way that it can be used in voting, in contracts, in mortgages, in many other areas where you need something that is not going to change and is going to stay constant, and it gives people some form of security that they don't have to trust a third party, but rather they're trusting in the mathematics of what's been put together with the blockchain.
And that's Terry Brock. He'll be joining us next week. I'm not sure how much time he's going to spend with us. He sounded like he was going to spend a lot of time. He's very interested in getting into the group discussion here and participating that way. We'll look forward to that. TerryBrock.com, TerryBrock.com. You can get a little, a lot of his articles on blockchain there. Very relevant to this show. I want to thank Goldbug One, Andy, here in the studio. Now, you are available by TradingView.com if you search Goldbug One, but you also have another way of finding
Seeking Cryptos on Facebook.
Cryptos, plural.
Hey, that's correct.
Seeking Cryptos.
Okay, we do more than one. We're not like CNBC, just mono Bitcoin.
Yeah, constantly putting up new information there. And do you put trades up on there?
Right now, we're not trading right now because of the market conditions, but as soon as the markets are right to start trading again, we'll start posting more trades.
There.
That's correct.
All right. And, Augie, you're back from your adventure in Orlando, and we'll see you next week.
I intend to be here.
Well, thanks for coming in. Anything else you want to leave the audience with?
Oh, I just think that the bubble has varying shapes and varying sizes. I don't know if we're fully there, but unless more people get their wallets in their pockets and fewer wallets and fewer pockets are the distinction, that's a real concern.
We're going higher. We're going higher. Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to have a mini correction, but then we're going higher.
Queued up. We're going to have to go to our regular closing song on that. We'll be back next Saturday with Terry Brock, Andy, Augie, and hopefully some of the other panelists that you've heard in the past here on the Henry Rain Show.
Meditate, let your soul gravitate to the love, y'all.
People get people dying.